You are listening to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the best place for movie topics and blockbuster discussions. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town.
Hey folks, it's me, AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer, and welcome to this first edition of the Movie Cheer Rewind, where I'm sharing some previous content that I've not shared in podcast form before from the Movie Cheer Vault of Content. And on this first edition of the show, I am sharing a Laserdisc discussion with Ben, aka Rider Rated 18. This is a discussion that came out back in 2022. So some of the topics in here, we're talking about collecting Laserdisc in 2022. But I think a lot of the information that Ben shares here really works well in 2023 and beyond, really. And I thought, just in general, it was a really good discussion about physical media and Ben sharing his collection of Laserdiscs as well. So you can either check out the video on YouTube, but if I thought, as a podcast, we can share this as a podcast as well format, and I think it works well both ways. So I will just say, before we head into that podcast, to please do, if you've not already, check them out on Instagram. Ben runs an awesome Instagram page, and it is Rider, spelled R-I-D-E-R, _rated, R-A-T-E-D, _18, the number 1-8 is. Rider_rated_18. I've got it right there. Check out Ben's content. Honestly, he's got a great Instagram page. Ben's a great member of this community, and he's got an awesome, collection of movies, and enjoys discussing. He does live streams on his Instagram. He's featured on many different channels on YouTube. He's a top guy, and that's why I want to share this with you all. So check Ben out and enjoy the show. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town. I am your host, AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer. And on this episode, it will be a deep dive discussion into Laserdisc collecting. And joining me for this discussion today, I have Ben, aka Rider Rated 18. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Haby. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. We've been meaning to do a conversation for a while. And just glad to be here. And thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you for coming on. I just got to say, Ben has been on the Movie Cheer podcast previously. But if you're not aware of Ben's content, he's got an awesome Instagram page discussing movies, doing live streams, talking about his collection. And more importantly, for today's topic of Laserdiscs, he has some awesome videos sharing his Laserdisc collection as well. So I just want to say, Ben, you have thumbs up to you, buddy. You've got an awesome Instagram page. It's really cool,
mate. Thank you.
So we are going to be doing a deep dive into Laserdisc today. For me, I'll be honest with you, it's a format I am not super aware of. It's something probably only like past couple of years, maybe I've heard of like Laserdisc, never collected it as a kid. And it was just like, for me, it was like VHS, DVD. And it's like I said, like later, maybe adulthood, I've heard about Laserdisc more so. So like for someone like myself, who's maybe not super familiar with the format, Ben, and maybe wants to get like, find out a bit more about it, what's the format about? What is it like? What is Laserdisc basically?
Okay, well, here it is. This is what one looks like.
Whoa.
And, it's very huge. It's very similar to a vinyl record, double-sided. You've got some cool reflection there, as you can see.
Yeah.
It is an analog format. It's not digital. People sometimes forget that they think it's digital, but it's not. It originally started out in 1978, and it was known as DiscoVision then. And then it sort of became something else. And then it eventually became Laserdisc by the 90s. And it was always that thing of, you would always hear about them, but you would never see them.
Yeah.
I spent years trying to see, if I can actually find any or anyone who owned a player, but no one ever did. And then once DVD came in, these sort of died off because they stopped making them around 2001. That's when the format stopped. And so it's basically a double-sided disc. Each one has about 60 minutes per side of the film. So you do have to flip the discs a few times when you watch the film. Some of them are like 30 minutes per side.
Right.
But the majority of them are 60 minutes per side. So if you've got a film that's over 2 hours, you're going to have at least two discs to go through.
Wow.
Yeah. And as you can see, we've got a cool like reflection here. It's something else. Yeah, it really is. It's a very weird oddity.
They look
not many people have probably seen one, why I'm sure.
So yeah. are they like, would you say they are the same size of like a 12-inch like a record? Are they very much the same, are they, or?
Yeah, I would assume so. Maybe a bit smaller by a few millimeters, and obviously the sleeves they come in are identical to the vinyl sleeves. But yeah, about the same. Yeah.
But this is going in like is it like a DVD? Literally, you put it into the machine, the player. Is it like similar to the way you put like a DVD in, like the case comes out and then you put it on, or is it like
just this enormous tray? You just you open it up and then you make sure it's the right side up, and then it will start spinning and it will read the first side. Yeah.
Right.
And then when it gets to the end, you then have to sort of flip the disc over. But luckily the player I own can read both sides, so I don't have to flip it.
Right. Okay.
I only have to change the disc once the disc is actually finished. So some players can do that, some not. Yeah.
That is cool. They look amazing. I mean, they look like they scratch easily. Like, how are they like for scratches?
Scratch easily. As long as you're holding them like I am, as long as you don't get any finger marks over them, pretty much similar to DVDs, they're going to work.
Yeah.
And the majority of discs that I found, they're all in good condition. People did look after them. But they can easily scratch. You've just got to look after them and just make sure you don't bash them around too much. Yeah.
Well, they look. Yeah. I'm glad you brought one on screen. Eh? That's awesome to see. I love that, mate.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the only reason I bought this one on is because, well, this disc is actually no good, believe it or not.
Right. Okay.
Because there was a problem with LaserDisc, and this is the reason why it probably didn't do so well. Is that some discs were susceptible to this thing called laser rot,
which was
a manufacturing defect, and basically, picture and sound can deteriorate over a period of time.
Right. Okay.
And it's got nothing. It's got nothing to do with the format. It's basically certain studios weren't very good at making them.
Right.
And the one I'm holding here, which is Shawshank Redemption, this was done by Columbia Pictures, which is Sony.
Right. Okay.
And Sony were not very good at making them. So if you are looking for movies, you need to be very careful with Columbia Pictures movies, because 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to get laser rot.
Right.
Majority of the other titles I've got, they were done by Pioneer, Universal, 20th Century Fox, or Pioneer pressed them themselves, or Japanese releases. The pictures and transfers stay pretty much normal. But yeah, this is one that's pretty much screwed. You put this in and it's going to look like a very battered VHS. The audio's gone and the picture's all corrupted. But this is like a bad example of what can happen to it. But the majority of the ones that I will show are all perfectly fine. They work fine.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd get this one out of the case, because it doesn't matter if I get it out of the case, because it can't be watched anymore.
Yeah. I appreciate you showing us. What does the quality look like in comparison? Would you say, like, is it above like a video VHS or below DVD? Where would you say on the scale of like the quality of LaserDisc stands?
I would say this is kind of like super VHS. That's a good way of putting it.
Right, okay.
It's not quite up there with DVD.
Yeah.
There are probably one or two movies that I've got that look really good. As long as you've got the right TV, the right setup, and do a bit of a picture adjustment, some could look really good. But the majority of them are pretty standard. On modern TVs, a lot of these aren't going to look as amazing as they probably once did.
Yeah.
But in terms of picture-wise, transfers vary. It just depends on who pressed it and how good condition the disc is. Yeah.
Fantastic. Super. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to put your disc down or something, so it doesn't scratch at all. I don't want to ruin any of your LaserDisc, but so where did your journey as a collector of LaserDiscs begin? Was it like something you collected as a kid? Did you hear about it as a kid, or is it something you've got into more as an adult?
It was pretty much, when I was younger, sort of in the mid 90s, as I said earlier, you'd always hear about them, but you just never see them.
Yeah.
And then, DVD came in, went to DVD and I never looked back, as you can see behind me. And then as time went on, I kept on hearing about LaserDisc. And when people on YouTube were starting to talk about it, there was a few people on there. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of James Rolfe, the angry video game nerd.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I first heard about it, on his channel on Cinemassacre.
Yeah. He was doing like these, these very short videos, and he was talking about obsolete video formats, and he talked about Betamax, he talked about CED, which is like a poor man's version of this, and he mentioned LaserDisc, and I was just like, oh, that's what they were, because I do remember seeing some when I was in a bar on holiday with my parents, and it was a karaoke night, and the DJ woman was basically putting these LaserDiscs into this enormous machine. I thought, that's what they were. I thought they were like video CDs or something, but it turns out that's what they were. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then you start Googling it, you start searching it. And there was another guy on YouTube called Oliver Harper. He's got a massive collection, and he's like showed off the movies he's got on there. And then he actually spoke about, you know, the problems with it, the benefits of it,
yeah.
And just got really, really curious. And then, you know, started searching eBay, started finding groups of people that might know about it. And then there was always a bit of hesitation because it's an old format and, you know, the players themselves are getting a bit long in the tooth now. They can go wrong. Mm. It was kind of like, shall I, shan't I? And then in early 2019, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to dive in, buy a player and buy some movies and just see how it goes. Yeah.
Fantastic. It's, I mean, it's like that with like all formats in general. I look at like I only collect DVD now, but I've been looking at like VHS recently and going back into that, buying that. And the only thing that puts me off is like buying the, like, obviously now you can't go out and buy a brand new Laserdisc player. Same as like, you can't go out and buy a new, brand new VHS player. Did that ever like put you off buying like old equipment, like thinking, oh, maybe this won't work or there's going to be issues with this, with the player? Like any mindset there when you were like going to purchase the stuff?
Yeah, easily. Yeah. It was like one of the reasons why I was like, shall I, shan't I, you know? Mm. And when I did buy the first player, after 1 week, the tray was faulty and it just wouldn't open. And I literally had to take the roof off. I had to unscrew the roof and get the disc out because, you know, it wouldn't release the disc.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, it still fires up. Surely someone can sort this out. And then I start emailing people, contacting people. And then people are saying, you can just fix it yourself. And it's like, that's beyond my expertise. I don't know how to do this. And then, as I told you off camera, I recently found someone in North London that deals with sort of old electronics and he's managed to fix it. And then once it went bang, I had to sort of, you know, rush by another one. And luckily I found another one. Again, wasn't too far away.
Yeah.
And on those occasions, they had like a load of movies as well. And they said, well, if you give us some more money, you can take some movies with you. And I was like, yeah, sure. So the first two player buys were actually with a job lot of discs as well. So yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Super. Mm. So let's get into, I mean, like I said, on your Instagram page, Ben, you've got some really cool videos showing your case covers to your actual Laserdisc collection.
Yep.
Obviously, I've asked you in advance to like pick out some of your favorite ones here. So what are some of your favorites? And it'd be great to see them on screen.
Okay, well, we're going to start off with probably the best one I own, and that is Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Oh, great.
Now, you've got original artwork. You really have got to love that, because when new Blu-rays come out, they don't always go for the original artwork anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And that's quintessential Arnold right there. I mean, I even had this as a poster in my bedroom when I was a kid. Yeah.
It's unreal. And, I mean, it's a boss movie, but like you said, the cover is just is amazing and iconic.
The other benefit is that some of them are gatefolds and they have all of these production notes and all of these pictures on the inside. I mean, you don't get on a DVD. I mean, I'll just sort of zoom in a bit there.
Super.
So yeah, some of them are gatefolds. Yeah, part of the benefit. But yeah, this is probably one of the best ones I own in terms of picture and sound. And that was the other reason why I sort of started getting into it, because the audio on these things, you know, it's something you just have to hear. They just sound a bit purer and a bit more natural. It's hard to explain. But, you know, when you hear something for so long and then you hear it on one of these, you know, you really notice a difference. And particularly on this one, you know, it just sounds amazing. And it's just nice to sort of have the theatrical version of Terminator, because normally you can't find the theatrical version anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone goes for the special edition director's cut, you know, the ultimate cut, you know, however many versions there are. But I always like the theatrical one. So this is like one that really stands out. Like, if I really want to show someone how good this format could be, I always put this one in first. Yeah,
that looks like in really good condition as well. I don't know if it's like the way it's coming up on screen, but it looks immaculate here.
Yeah, luckily the guy I bought this one off from, it's in like a plastic sleeve. So
yeah, it looks like that. Yeah, that is
yeah, that's where I bought the first player from, and he had like a ton of movies, and I took like 20. It was about 22 movies off him.
Yeah.
And he had them all lined up. And yeah, he obviously looked after them. He was a rich guy. He lived down a private road with a 6-bedroom house.
He's like, doing all right. He's okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This guy was minted. And he was like, he just wanted to get rid of him. Didn't need them anymore. He hadn't watched them for years. You know, he'd moved on. And he was just looking for someone to sort of, you know, just get rid of it from him. And he's probably still got loads of discs that he's still trying to get rid of. He had loads of them, but I couldn't take all of them. I could only take about 20 when I bought the first player. So this was one of them. Yeah.
That is great. Yeah. It looks awesome. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And another one I like the look of was the 1994 movie starring Wesley Snipes, Drop Zone. I mean, look how vibrant this one is.
I mean, I've never seen this movie. Is it a good movie?
It's a very good skydiving, you know, action thriller from the 90s. Yeah, it's classic Wesley Snipes. You've got Gary Busey in this one. And this was another film that, again, I haven't seen it on DVD anywhere or a UK Blu-ray. It's never been reissued. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it wasn't as successful, but you know, I remember this cover in the video shop when it came out on VHS. Like, you'd have like these stack load of orange VHS cases with this cool cover of Snipes there. You've got Washington DC Skydivers there. And again, this is just a really cool film. And again, this cover really stands out. I'm hoping one day to maybe display these facing forward, you know, in some form.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you don't want them like this. You want them, you know, facing forward. So, yeah, this is another one that always stands out. Yeah,
I think that's the benefits of this format as well. It's like, I mean, DVD, any other like format video, you put them in a case in a shelf, and obviously mm-hmm. you can see the sleeve it. But with these, you can display these. They look like a picture. It's like a photo. They look amazing.
The fact you could take it off
and say it's a, you know, this is actually a format I can actually play. I think that's that's brilliant. You can do that.
Yeah.
Have you got any more, Ben? Any more?
I've lined up a few for you. So
let's go for two more, buddy. Let's see two more.
Okay,
I want to see these.
Okay, it's another one I like, and that's Top Gun.
Top Gun, right? I think I've seen this in one of your videos. It is a cool cover.
I just love the orange on this, and I like how you can see Tom Cruise and Kelly McGinnis. You can see the jets in there, and again, it's just this is another good release. You know, very good picture, very good sound. You know, and yeah, it just stands out. I mean, just look at it. Look at this. You know?
It's beautiful.
I mean, yeah, the recent Blu-ray, you know, just didn't have this sort of same impact for a front cover. Yeah. Mm. And of course, it's Top Gun. You've got to get it. I've seen it so many times, but I thought I only paid like £5 for it. So, you know, and it still plays perfectly fine. So, yeah, this is like another good, great cover. Yeah.
That is brilliant.
And right. Just I'll pick out two more. Yeah.
Yeah. Go for two more. Let's go for two more.
Two more. Okay. So look. Bear with me.
This is the anticipation. It's building. I can't wait.
Okay, we'll go with this one because this is one of my favorite 90s movies. Species, starring Natasha Henstridge. I mean, look at that cover. Yeah,
that is. I mean, I get this is a movie. I've heard of this movie. I've never seen it, but I mean, that is a cool looking cover. It looks it looks like a very artsy cover, isn't it? That is amazing.
Because this is the artwork that you would see, you know, in the video shop. You would see it at the cinema. You would see it, you know, displayed everywhere. Because I think the DVD doesn't have this cover. It has like some generic, you know, Photoshopped cover, which just isn't as good. And this is a great 90s sort of sci-fi horror. Yeah.
Yeah.
Genetic mutation.
Yep. Were a lot of these covers similar to the VHS at the time, would you say, or were they different?
I would say so, yeah. From memory, I remember the VHS having this exact cover, but obviously it doesn't stand out as much on a 12-inch sleeve, does it?
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And we'll go with one more. Let's have a look. This is one of my favourite action films, and again, one of my favourite covers. It's 1989's Black Rain, starring Michael Douglas.
Oh, that is cool. That is a cool
cover. I mean, look at that. You know, you've got him in a leather jacket, sunglasses, on a motorcycle. I mean, how cool is that?
That would be like, that looks like an album cover for like a synthwave band now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like
some,
you get some synthwave band using that. Yeah. That is a cool looking cover.
Yeah.
And
this is actually a Japanese release. Yeah. So, the picture and sound is very good on this. You know, I mean, have you actually seen Black Rain?
I've never seen it. No, it's a good boss movie. Action. Like,
A very solid action film directed by Ridley Scott. You know, Michael Douglas is on top form. Yeah. Sort of 80s cop cliches. You know, it's really good. Yeah.
That's a check that one out. Definitely. That is brilliant. Well, thanks for sharing them with us, Ben. I appreciate that, buddy. Is there any like Holy Grail ones or any laser disc you're on the lookout for currently? Or like, have you got a list of like what you're looking for? Or
I mean, I've pretty much got the majority of the titles I was after. I was looking for mostly of the 90s action stuff, you know, like Con Air, Broken Arrow, Terminator 2, you know, True Lies, you know, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, you know, all that good stuff. But there are many. I mean, one, for example, is Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, the first prequel.
Okay. Right.
Because it was the only prequel that made it to the format.
Yeah.
Because it was because the DVD was a bit delayed when Phantom Menace came out originally. You had to wait a few years before it came out on DVD. Do you remember that?
I can't remember. No, I remember having it on VHS. The first one. Yeah, well, Phantom Menace.
But it took a couple of years for it to come to DVD, and people were importing it from Japan because it was a Japanese only release. And so it'd be nice to get at least one of the prequels on the format. I think that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. And it is easily available, and it's not too expensive, you know, because it was mass produced. A few others. I'm hoping to get The World Is Not Enough, Pierce Brosnan's third James Bond film.
Right. Okay.
That was like one of the last few big Hollywood
Was that 99, was it? Or when was that? Was that 99?
It came out in 99, but it was only, again, it was another Japanese only, and it was only released like sort of early 2000. It never made a North American release or a UK release.
Right, okay.
And it would just be nice to be Pierce Brosnan complete, because I've got GoldenEye, I've got Tomorrow Never Dies, I want the third one. So yeah. But again, unfortunately, it's massively expensive, quite hard to find. So that's another one I'm hopefully getting. Fingers crossed. You know, you just got to keep searching. And just keep seeing what you can get.
Is there a lot of, like, I mean, I don't know if you noticed this on like eBay or wherever or out and about. Have you ever seen any, like, do you get bootleg versions of Laserdisc? Have you ever seen that or heard of, like, in the community, like there being a Laserdisc, like, bootleg copy at all? Or
not really.
Like, no.
Not really. No, I haven't seen any. You know, I suppose because it's, like, too complicated to try and replicate. I mean, with DVDs, it's easy done, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's Yeah,
because they were so sort of unusual, these discs, you know, I don't think you can just, you know, pop one of these in and just record on it, because you couldn't record on them because they were analog. So yeah, I've never seen a bootleg.
Fair enough. I mean, I think for me, like, looking at this now, I mean, first of all, you're sharing the case covers. I've always enjoyed that of, like, movies in general, looking at the case covers. That's why I like physical media, like picking out the movies I enjoy. So, you know, I can watch them, but I like just looking at the artwork. Something I enjoy doing. So that would be an appeal for me. And like I said, like, potentially putting them on a wall to show them as well. And also, you get this great format. What would you say is, like, the strong appeal to you, Ben, for this format? Is it the artwork? Is it the nostalgia of it? Just be an old format you've heard about when you were a kid? What's the appeal to you in general for this format?
Mainly, I would say the audio.
Right, okay.
Because the audio is quite clear and pure on a lot of these, and particularly with DTS titles, they've got that sort of more aggressive bass to them.
Yeah.
And the good thing is with the Laserdisc players, you can hook them up to new sound equipment. You know, if you get an AC receiver or a surround system, because, you know, we've all got surround systems in our lounges, you can hook up these players to modern equipment, and you can unleash the audio on these, and they can sound probably on par with Blu-rays, if not a bit better, I would say.
Right, okay.
So there is that appeal with them. And it's also nice to have these movies on a product from its time.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of buying a brand new Blu-ray that's recently been created. You know, these were released, you know, when the film was still very new. So that's kind of the appeal as well. And again, it just feels right to watch it on. It's almost as if a lot of the action films that I've got were made for this format.
Yeah, I understand.
If that makes sense. And also, there were a lot of directors that were very big fans of it. James Cameron was a huge fan of it. So was Quentin Tarantino. So was Robert Rodriguez. You know, they made sure that their movies got the best releases on the format. Like, it's no secret that James Cameron did approve a lot of the Terminator 2 releases, and probably the one I've shown, you know.
Yeah.
Actually oversaw the release to make sure it was in the correct aspect ratio, the audio was correct. And the same with Tarantino. He was, like, you know, saying, I want this to be the best release possible on this format. So they were fans. So people within the movie community, they loved it as well. Yeah.
Superb. Yeah. So, I mean, we're in 2022 now. Is 2022 a good year to start collecting Laserdisc? What do you reckon? Would you, maybe someone who out there who's never collected the format before, or maybe they've started a collection in general, what do you think 2022, can you get a good price on Laserdisc now? Is it easy to find? What are your personal views on this?
Yeah, I would say yes and no. It's very tricky because you will have to do some research.
Right.
You know, you need to find out what the best players are. You need to check out which films will probably have laser rot and which ones won't.
Yeah.
You can go onto a website called LDDB, which is the Laserdisc database.
Right, okay.
It's very similar to IMDb, where every release is listed. It's independently run.
Fantastic.
And the people within the community, they sort of log in and they can, like, tell you which releases are the best ones, which ones to avoid. So, like I said, you need to be careful of that. And again, you know, with players, you know, they are going to go wrong. You know, the most recent ones are now over 20 years old, so you are going to run into technical issues. And the other issue has recently been is that a lot of people are starting to overvalue them a bit.
Right, okay.
Because they sort of see it as this sort of retro thing. Because it's a Laserdisc, they think it's rare. You know, it's not rare. You know, it was mass-produced. It was easily available back in the day. And people try and, you know, charge a bit too much for them now.
Do you think, like, the lockdown has potentially, you know, the lockdown over the past 2 years or so, has that, like, contributed to it, maybe? Like, I see that in, like, the retro gaming space, where A lot of people were thinking, let's get into retro gaming, and that's where the prices for a lot of these like 90s consoles went up in price, the early 2000s and stuff. And would you say, do you reckon that could have played in a part to why Laserdisc is maybe a bit more expensive, maybe?
Quite possibly, because yeah, retro gaming has suffered massively with increased prices for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And I do feel that Laserdisc is not too far behind by that. Mm. But if you search hard enough, you will find people that just want to get rid of it. You know, right. They're happy to have, you know, a couple of quid for this, or they're willing to just get rid of it because they don't want it anymore. Because the majority of the films that I do have, they're not worth much. They're only worth between £5 to £10, realistically. Mm. And anything that's like a bit later on, like I was saying with James Bond or Phantom Menace, they might be worth a bit more because they were only released in Japan. And it's the same with Mission Impossible 2. That's another film I want to get on the format because it was, again, one of the last few big Hollywood movies that came out on that.
Yeah.
And again, people do charge a bit too much for it, but you know, so yeah, I would say it kind of is, but isn't. And also you need to be prepared for storage issues as well, because yeah, they're not small. They are quite large.
This is what I was going to say. Like, where do you store them? Is it like, have you got like a certain area? Have you got like a cube, like an ottoman to put them in? Where do you store yours, Ben?
Yeah, they're all in the spare room and they're in like the bottom shelf of a bookcase, you know,
right.
So they're not sort of, you know, because if you do stick them on a shelf, you know, the shelf is going to sag if you have too many of them, because they are mighty heavy if you've got like a load of them sort of
right.
lined up together. So they're on the bottom, you know, out of sight in a nice cool area, not directed to the sun and that. So, yeah. Storage. And like I said, not everyone has the storage space for them. So they are quite large.
Mm.
And, you know, as I said, some transfers are going to be good, others not so good. So people might be disappointed thinking that, you know, it's going to look great, but it probably won't look great. And also when these are played on new TVs, you know, some are going to look better than others. Yeah, so it's a bit inconsistent.
Right.
You know, if you're prepared to sort of look past the imperfections of it, you know, you'll probably have a good time.
Yeah.
So
that's the important thing. Like, it's just like, I think just enjoying it as well. The hobby of collecting these formats. Like, it's, I think that's the best thing to do. And it's just like, enjoy it, have fun with it all. Would you collect mainly then, Ben? Is it are you going online, eBay, or in charity shops? Where's your main spots, and where have you found, obviously you said you've got like a majority from a certain seller, where in general do you shop for these laser discs?
If I'm looking for something specific, it's always eBay. It's really the only place to look for. In terms of like the player and, you know, the job lots I got, it was basically through some Facebook groups, you know, because people like to sort of share what they have, but they like to sell through it as well.
Right, I see.
And they're saying, I've got an entire collection, you know, whoever wants this, message me, you know, and I'll send whatever. So it's pretty much, the best place is probably through the Facebook groups and through eBay.
Yeah.
Charity shops, very few and far between. It's only been two occasions I've seen them.
Right, okay. Because I, once I got onto your videos, your awesome videos, buddy, I mean, it's one of those where I don't think I'd want to start a collection just for the sake of, I mean, the storage. I don't know where it's storing, but
yeah.
I'm so, if I see one in the wild, I'm going to buy it just for the pleasure of it. And I keep on looking in my local charity shops since seeing your videos. And honestly, I look through the records because I think, you know, they're going to be thrown in with the records.
Sometimes they are. Yeah.
Yeah. I've not seen one yet. And I swear, the day I see one, I'm just going to like jump out with excitement. I'm going to ring you. I'm going to be like, I found one, Ben. I found one. But it's I've never seen one in the wild. When was the last time you seen one in a charity shop?
It was actually a few months ago, because a good friend tipped me off and said, hey, there's one in the charity shop where I live, you know, and it's about a half an hour drive from where I am.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, there's a few in there, you know, just, you know, help yourself. And I looked, and it was, a lot of the discs that were in there I already own. So sometimes you might run into the discs that you already own. So I picked up just one of them, and it was The Frighteners, you know, starring Michael J. Fox, Peter Jackson film. I was like, I don't actually own that at all. So yeah, I'll pick that one up, £6. Yeah. As long as it's in good condition. I do look at the discs as well. I do take them out and check them to make sure there's no finger marks or scratches.
Yeah.
See what the sleeves are like. Sometimes the sleeves can be a bit battered sometimes. Yeah, they might have bend bits on them, or the corners might be battered. So yeah. As long as they're in good condition, then yeah, I'll still pick them up if they're cheap. Yeah, but they've got to be in good condition at least. Yeah.
So let's just end this on like on one question. If you did not collect Laserdisc before now, would you start collecting, Ben? Would it be the year for you? Would you go instant? What do you say? Yes or no? Would you collect now this year, 2022?
Yeah, I would, because, you know, if I didn't do it back in 2019, you know, I would still be feeling the same way now.
Yeah.
And since 2019, I've learned a lot, you know, understood a lot more now. And, you know, I just would be 3 years behind, really. Yeah. So, yeah, had I not made the decision in 2019, I probably would have made the decision now, regardless of what's happened in the world. So, yeah. Yeah, I probably still would have jumped on it eventually. It was just at that point, I was thinking time is now, you know, start getting them now. Brilliant. In 2019.
Yeah. Brilliant. So before we end this video today, I'm going to put Ben on something special. I'm going to put him on the Movie Cheer Town Truth Box. And this is basically, I'm going to throw a few questions at Ben and he can only choose one answer. And I'm going to give him the answers. And this is, you know, he can't lie on the Truth Box, on the Movie Cheer Town Truth Box. He must stand on that box and tell the truth. So first of all, DVD versus Laserdisc versus Blu-ray. You can only choose one to have in your collection, one format, and basically that's the only one you can have. All the other ones will no longer exist. What format would you go for?
DVD.
Why DVD?
Well, you gave me this question about a week ago and I actually was at work, you know, thinking about it and thinking, you know, about this and about that, and I was just going through it and the fact is DVD is still here.
Yeah.
You know, 20 plus years later, 21 years, 22 years, yeah, they're still being made. And, you know, it hasn't really changed or evolved. It still does what it does. There's no issues with them. They're very affordable. You can easily store them. Blu-ray may be better in terms of picture quality and sound quality. And, you know, there might be better versions, you know, of movies. But, you know, DVD is still kicking around. And the fact is, any film could be on DVD. Because there are plenty of films that don't really need a Blu-ray release or don't really need a 4K release.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you saw yesterday, I was watching Death Race 2000 on
I've seen that movie years ago. I can't really recall the movie. It looks like a live-action version of Wacky Races, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. But that's a prime example of, does that really need to be on Blu-ray? No, because the film's a piece of crap. It's not very good at all. Yeah. But on the DVD, it's perfectly fine. You know, it doesn't really need to be in HD. And a lot of other movies like any sort of character studies with a lot of acting with no visual effects, you know, do they really need to be on Blu-ray? Not really. A lot of old black and white films, do they really need to be on Blu-ray? Not really.
Yeah.
And also you've got television shows look fine on DVD, stand-up comedy, documentaries, you know, sitcoms, you know, the run-of-the-mill stuff, you know, everything works on DVD.
I think that's the thing. In a general, it's a solid format, isn't it? Like I said, it's not the super highest of quality, but it's still a solid format, isn't it?
It's proven and it's a solid format. And the other thing is that I've noticed recently with a lot of Blu-ray releases, particularly with some of the boutique labels, there's been a lot of recalls recently with issues with the discs.
Yeah, I've seen this recently with Arrow video. Was it? There was one the other day, the one, it was a Michael Rooker movie.
Yeah, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Yeah,
that was it. Yeah.
And they're saying we've got to recall these discs because there's a problem with one of the chapters. It's not in full HD or the 4K wasn't, you know, rendered at that point in the film. And it's not just Arrow. Like, there's been issues with Criterion. There's been issues with 88 Films and Screen Factory in America saying, oh, we've got to recall this. I think the biggest one was that Friday the 13th super box set that had all the movies in it.
Blu-ray.
And about three of the films had to be recalled because, you know, the aspect ratio wasn't correct, or there was like a little problem with one of the movies, and they had to send all the discs back, and then they had to send you more. And it's just like that never happened with DVD, and it never happened back in the day.
I
can remember when DVD came in, and I don't remember any issues with any releases. As long as you looked after them, they were all fine.
I've never seen that. I mean, like, you know, occasionally you get like maybe a minor error, but like that's like very rare, I found. But like you said, it seems like this is like a regular occurrence with some of these like boutique ones. It does seem like it's like something that's happening more often than it should actually happen.
Yeah, it's not all the time, but just now and again, you get these stories and it is a bit sort of, you know, what, this shouldn't really be happening in 2022. Yeah.
It puts you off. It would put me off buying in like, and you know, like these boutique labels, they're not cheap discs, are they? You're paying like maybe...
They're not cheap, but I mean, you do get your money's worth, and they are probably the best releases at the moment. And that's probably the only reason I buy them is because they do offer more. There is more bonus features. They might have different versions of the film, different cuts of the film, which isn't available on Blu-ray. And that's pretty much the only reason why I buy the Blu-rays, because, you know, this version is not on DVD. I'll buy the Blu-ray because that's the only way to get the film on this format. So, yeah. But as I said, yeah, if I had to just pick one, it would be DVD because it's the one that got me into collecting in the first place.
Yeah.
It felt like this was a good time to start collecting movies anyway, back in 2001. And, you know, it's still here. You know, I may not buy as many as I used to, but I will still buy them because if I see a film I've never seen before and it's cheap on DVD, I'll get the DVD because it works. It's fine.
Yeah. Super. Yeah. It's like you're saying with the format as well, like Laserdisc, right? You mentioned it before. It began in 1978. And what did you say the original name was? It was called
Disco Vision. That's what
Disco
it was originally.
Disco Vision. That's a cool name. That'd be a cool band name, that Disco Vision.
Yeah. Because I've seen people in the Laserdisc groups, like they have like these ones where it's called Disco Vision on the box.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And while they look cool, they're not really the best transfers because it was still the infancy of the format. So some of those earlier releases aren't as good. You know, the format didn't really get perfected until the 90s, really. That's when it really became as good as it could do. Yeah.
Yeah. The first release was Jaws on Laserdisc.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah,
that was. Do you have that copy? Do you have that Laserdisc?
No, I don't know.
That would be quite a rare one, I imagine. That would be like a really hard to find.
From that very early release, yeah, it's fine. But you could probably find, you know, a pressing from 1995, 96 from Universal. You know, probably the best way to get Jaws. If I wanted to buy Jaws, I would buy a sort of a late 90s pressing.
Yeah.
If I can find one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last, it is, Laserdisc, the last one was called a movie called Bringing Out the Dead. Have you ever heard of that movie?
Yeah, that's a Nicolas Cage, Martin Scorsese film. Yes.
Is it really? Yeah. Right, I've never seen that movie. Is it any good?
Yeah, I've got the DVD. Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, this is quintessential Nicolas Cage. Like, if you can find this film, definitely get it. It's Nicolas Cage on top form. Yeah.
It makes you
respect paramedics a lot more, trust me.
Okay. Superb. Yeah. I will have to check that one out. Definitely.
Yeah.
I love the way you just turned around then and you knew exactly where this movie was. That is a skill, my friend, an absolute skill. I could not do that. I have mine in certain collections. I still couldn't find it. I'd be like, oh, where's this one? I don't know.
but just to clarify that was the last North American release it was. Yeah.
Right, I see. All right, okay.
Yeah, last North American release. I mean, as I said, in Japan, they carried on for a little bit longer, but not too long. But that was like the last North American release, Bringing Out the Dead. Yeah.
Let's move on to another Movie Cheer Town Truth Box question. Next one. Knight Rider, the TV show Knight Rider versus Quantum Leap. I know I've, you know, from viewing your Instagram page, I know you like both of these shows. You can only pick one though, Ben. Which one would you have? Would it be Quantum Leap or Knight Rider?
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
Easily.
Why Knight Rider over Quantum Leap then?
Well, because, I mean, on the face of it, Quantum Leap is the better show. Right. It is better written. It's more emotionally interesting. And, you know, it was very highly regarded when it came out. But Knight Rider defined me. It was one of the first shows that I ever watched when I was 3-4 years old on ITV back in the day. Yeah, it was one of the first shows I ever saw.
Right. Okay.
It's the reason I call myself Rider. You know, that's the reason for it. You know? So, you know, and it's this sort of love affair with cars, David Hasselhoff, you know, the great hero, you know.
Yeah.
Who would want to look up? Yeah, you know, which kid would not look up to that hero? You know, growing up,
he's a cool guy.
He is a cool guy. You know, and he's got the coolest car on television. Yeah. He's driving around doing good things. You know, it was the show that defined me, and one of the first few shows that I ever saw. And to this day, I'll always go back to it. And it's crazy to think that this year that show is sharing its 40th anniversary. It's nuts.
That is wild. Would you like to see which one? Would you like to see? I know they've done loads of reboots of Knight Rider over the years and like TV movies and stuff like that, but I know there's been talk of like a Quantum Leap reboot or a sequel show, whatever it may be. What in general would you like out of those two? Obviously you said Knight Rider is your favorite, but for like a reboot in 2022, which one would you say is one you'd like to see more?
They're definitely Quantum Leap because it's never been done yet.
Yeah.
You know, there's always been the idea kicking around that, you know, there was going to be a comeback series, and as it stands at the moment, it appears that there is something happening between one of the original co-writers of the show, Deborah Pratt. She's on Instagram and she's been saying, I'm on set now, being a sort of head advisor about how to do this properly.
Right. Okay.
And also Scott Bakula, who was the main star of the original series, he's now available.
Yeah.
Because he's just finished NCIS New Orleans. That was like the last show he was doing.
Right.
So Dr. Sam Beckett is still around. He can sort of come back if he wants to.
Yeah.
And I think the show does deserve a follow-up because it did end a bit, in a sad way. It felt a bit incomplete because the show did get cancelled when they were thinking that they were going to get renewed, and it never did. So it did sort of end on a bit of an emotional flat level. So I think Quantum Leap deserves a second chance, whereas Knight Rider has had multiple chances to come back, and there's only really been one of them that was really good. So yeah, I think Knight Rider's had its time. I don't think you can really do it any more justice. The only good follow-up was the 2008 series. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I've seen like clips over the years of like the spin-offs and stuff like that, but it's never like something I've invested too much time into. Or is it any good?
I preferred it. I mean, it's not great, but if you compare it to the original, it's the perfect follow-up because it actually is a follow-up. It's not a remake. It actually acknowledges the original series. David Hasselhoff does show up in the first episode to sort of do a handing of the torch moment to Justin Brunin, who was the new driver. So yeah, I'd say the 2008 version is the only one you should seek out. If you watch the original series, then watch the 2008 series.
What's the, like the passing of the torch moment? Does he go in with the car keys and just throws them in the faces of the new owner?
It was actually a funeral scene where Mike Tracer, the new guy, his mother has just passed away,
right,
who was Michael Knight's lover back in the day, because Michael Knight is his father.
Right, I see.
And they're basically standing there in front of the coffin, you know, all suits and booted, and he basically sort of looks at them and says, you know, it's time for you to move forward. You know, you take care of yourself. You know, I was told many years ago that one man can make a difference. I was that man. It's now your turn to do it. And it's kind of a very sort of nice scene. Yeah.
Fantastic. And let's go for the last question on the Movie Cheer Town Truth Box. Yeah. Watching movies at home in the comfort of your movie room, your living room, or versus watching movies at the cinema, you can only choose one for this from this point forward. Which one would it be?
I mean, a few years ago, I would have said the cinema, but with the way things have been going, I would say probably at home, because you're in your own environment. We can all get the best technology for films now. We can get the best TVs with the best surround sound, the best players, the best comforts, and you haven't got people around you. Because I've noticed recently in cinemas, like, while it's still great, it's amazing to watch a film in the cinema, but you are going to get the odd group of people that are going to be a bunch of idiots. You know, they're going to be talking, they're going to be munching, they're going to be reacting to stuff that doesn't need reacting to.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it is good, but you can't beat films at home.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I mean, I still enjoy the cinema experience, but like you said, for me, it's just like, just chilling out at home, and like you said, no one on the phone. Like, that really bugs me. It's just like you're watching a film, then you can just see a light in the corner of your eye, and then it's someone just on the phone, or like you said, if you get someone like chatting and stuff, and you're like, I just want to watch the movie in peace and just enjoy it.
I mean, in my area, it doesn't happen too much. You know, it's just now and again, but it's something that it's something you could do without.
I think I could definitely go the same, buddy. Well, that brings to an end the discussion, the video today. If you enjoyed this video today, please do give it a like and leave a comment on this topic of Laserdisc collecting. Are you collecting Laserdisc in 2022? Do you collect Laserdisc in general? What are your thoughts on Laserdisc collecting? I just want to say as well, let's just go for a final plug of Ben Rider Razor 18. Ben, where can people find you online?
Only Instagram. That's really the social that I'm massively active on. I'm always sharing movies that I'm watching. I'll sometimes share a bit of motorsport on there sometimes, and you know, just general sort of, you know, life stuff, anything I like. But you know, in terms of this collection behind me, I'm always sharing what I'm watching. You know, whether it's television, movie, classics, old, new, or even these bad boys, you know, I'm always sharing something. So yeah, if you want to sort of, you know, and also chat, I sometimes do some live streams now and again. I do some chats, not on my profile, but I sometimes collaborate with other people on there. So
yeah
pretty much RiderRated18 on Instagram. Yeah, super. That's pretty much where I'm at. Yeah.
And I'll link in your Instagram in the description below as well, Ben. So all of you can check out Ben's Instagram if you've not already. But yeah, it's been great having you on, Ben. I really do appreciate you coming on and sort of like, grabbing all your knowledge today. It's cool just like to, I said this before the video, just to do a deep dive into this, and just really, because like I said, I'm not really super aware of this format, and knowing that you know the format, you're aware of the format, and you collect for the format, it was cool just to, you know, find out more information and just really, you know, see all of what Laserdisc has to offer and see more of your collection. So I do really appreciate you coming on Movie Cheer Town today. Thank you very much, Ben.
Anytime. Thank you for having me. And yeah, we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And thank you to everyone out there for watching this video today. Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer. And as always, we will see you next time.